it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, it is Easter Sunday. It's a very good day to hunt Easter eggs. But, hey, right now the Orioles, they're hunting a closer. Again, Britton trying to end the game. He delivers 2-1. Pierce, fly ball. Right center. Adam Jones going to get there. He's going to make the catch, and the ball game is over. And the Orioles have come to Toronto, and they're in the win column again. And Britton finds closure. He did. But today, Britton goes on the 10-day disabled list. He's got a forearm issue. We'll talk to Buck Showalter about that when we continue with the manager's report, the skipper, right after this. Hi, Joe Angel back at Rogers Center in Toronto. And as always, skipper Buck Showalter, about 2 hours before game time, well, he met with the media. And well, the first thing he said today was...
We're going to disable Britton today, and we're going to bring Crichton back because we can for the DL. So hopefully Stefan will be here for a game. You know, back date, pick up a couple of days, really three counting the off day. So we'll see. Zach's got a little issue in the forearm that we want to take advantage of the 10-day thing and try to clear that up, not take any chances with it. Felt it on a breaking ball, second breaking ball. He threw two breaking balls the day before yesterday. Felt a little bit on the second breaking ball. Too early. Just don't want to take any chances with it. Make sure we get it taken care of.
So there you go. Zach Britton on the 10-day disabled list. And he injured himself throwing a breaking ball. Not the sinker, but the breaking ball. Buck, what about that?
We just kind of felt it on the one pitch. And after a game, the motion, you kind of let it die down. Obviously, Zach's a real good pitcher, and you're going to kind of let it play out a little bit. But talking with Richie and Zach a couple times and seeing if it's it's gotten a little better each day. But, you know, in that role, too, if all of a sudden he says, okay, I think I'm ready, and then he warms up in the ninth inning and he's got a problem with it and can't pitch, then you've managed the game or played the game with the idea that he's there at the end physically. That's not a good proposition. Plus, it's April. We want to take care of some of these things and kind of put it behind him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, there you go. That's certainly understandable. Now the question is, how confident is Buck Showalter and the ball club that Britton will be back after the 10-day period on that disabled list? Well, Buck says the concern is always going to be there.
Well, you're always concerned when someone has this. Everybody on the team's got something you could talk about if you wanted to. We just don't choose to, like every other team does. So we think it'll manage itself if we take the right precautions.
All right. So about the closing situation, well, the way it looks right now, it looks like it'll be Brad Brock, the closer in those situations. But hey, stay tuned. Anything could happen. And by the way, Britton on the disabled list, right-hander Stefan Crichton is back with the ball club. He's on the roster. And we'll continue with Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this. The 2-2 pitch. Fastball, got him looking. Strike three call. Snuck it right past him. Asher, his first 1-2-3 inning as an Oriole. And in Toronto today, he's gone two scoreless innings thus far. Yep, a couple of strikeouts in that second inning last night. In fact, Asher, his Orioles debut, the Blue Jays never scored against him while he was in the game. As the skipper Buck Showalter put it.
Great job by Alec. How good was he? That was fun to watch. I know he had a lot of fun and had a lot of pitches working, kind of like we talked about. The sum of the parts works when he's got everything working like that, and that was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was. Asher, 6 1/3, one run, allowed just three hits, one walk, five strikeouts, and ultimately he got a no decision. So, yeah, he deserved a better fate. Now, about the game today, Chris Davis will DH. Mark Trumbo is going to stay engaged defensively in right field today. Trey Mancini is going to play first base. Mancini has spent most of the year so far learning how to play the outfield. Buck, about Mancini at first base.
That's his primary position. It's like Trumbo. We keep them all in the mix. You know, I knew coming in here I wanted to get Chris, JJ, and Castillo off the field. One of these 4 days on this turf for a visiting team is not a good idea. You pay the price. I'm glad we got an off day tomorrow. I want to get Chris off there. I mean, we're talking about our guys that play 150, 160, they play a lot of games. I don't want him to get too far away from, he's obviously a lot more comfortable there. Gets Chris off the field, keeps Trum connected in right field, and creates some good options for us later in the game. I told him yesterday he'd be playing first base today.
And he didn't lie. Mancini at first base today. He will bat seventh in the Oriole order. And that's the manager's report. Now, the Orioles are off to an outstanding start in 2017. How do you do that? Well, it's all about preparation, And we'll find out more about that when Mike Bordick and Jim Hunter get together next on the warm-up show on the Orioles Radio Network.
Daytime baseball at Rogers Center as the Orioles look for a win to bounce back from yesterday's walk-off loss. And the Orioles with a win would take 3 out of 4 here from the Blue Jays. Well, beginnings of seasons are interesting. We'll talk about it with Mike Bordick up next on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Blue Jays, finale of this four-game series, and visiting with Mike Bordick. And, Bordy, beginnings of seasons are always challenging. The Orioles are off to a good start, 7-3. When you played, how did you approach the first couple of weeks of the season?
Oh, my gosh. You know, you really kind of, for me, I had to set that tone in spring training. I wanted to get into the grind as soon as possible. Only because, you know, in April, there are just too many off days. The time of games are different. And I think every player is just a creature of habit, you know, and you really want to get into that routine as soon as possible. So for me, doing it in spring training helped that first month of the season. But it's hard. Games get canceled because of weather. You have scheduled off days. The time of games are different. So the first 2-3 weeks of a season, it's really hard for a player to get into a routine. So if you get into a good start as a team, that's a bonus.
Well, the Orioles are off to a good start at 7-3. There are a few players, Manny Machado in particular, off to a slow start at the plate. Now, if he had this similar stretch in June, probably we wouldn't notice. But because it's in April, you notice. Now, we're noticing. Does that mean he knows what's going on?
Yeah, he does. But, you know, the good thing about Manny, and I think yesterday was a nice tell day. Usually when hitters are struggling a little bit, they try to do some things different. And one of the most recognizable things is try to hit the ball right out of the pitcher's hand. So the body goes forward, the head goes forward, and it's pretty obvious that the hitters are jumpy. Manny had a couple great at-bats yesterday, a couple good walks where it showed he was still letting the ball travel and seeing the ball well. I think the only thing Manny's trying to do right now is a little too much, maybe trying to get too many runs on the board with one swing of the bat. When he goes to right field or stays to the middle, he's as pure a hitter as you ever want to see. And that's the only adjustment he's got to use right now is maybe let the ball travel a little bit deeper and go to right field.
And then there's the opposite. You have Chris Davis off to a very good start. You have Wellington Castillo off to a good start. So I got to think, as a player, when you go up there, the confidence rises and everything is nice and easy.
Well, that's the thing. You get off to a good start. You know, you have a couple good days to start the year and everything feels good. This game is all about confidence, really. These guys have had so many at-bats under their belt in their careers and played so many games that really it's a mental game for them. If you feel good, you're going to have success. If you start to grind a little bit early on, you're down, the confidence isn't there. It's going to be a tough couple weeks to start the season.
All right, let me ask you about it from the team perspective. The Orioles are 7-3. They're 4-1 in the one-run game. So obviously all those games could have gone the other way. They could just as easily be 1-4. What about the confidence factor of being able to do whatever was necessary to win those games?
Well, I think that's huge for this team. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it could have swung either way, and then the Orioles could be on the bottom looking up. Instead, they did just enough to win some ball games. Obviously, a great formula is the long ball for this team and the back end of their bullpen, which has been there for a number of years now. And I think they rely on that. You know, Britton already 5 saves to this season. A couple guys getting off some slow starts, but man, when you get to the back end and Brock and Britton can close it down, that just helps a team's confidence for sure. And the timely hitting's been there for this team. You know, so one run, hey, what the heck? It's a win, and that's the way they approach it.
And the other thing that's been a positive for this start is they're 7-3. They're in first place. Yesterday was the first day they needed a fifth starter. And the pitching staff really is still a work in progress. And if you can win when the pitching staff isn't settled yet what you think it's going to be or what you expect it's going to be, that's a positive.
Oh, you got that right. You know, they broke camp with 3 starting pitchers. Now, granted, the off days were in there, so they didn't really need one. But it's a matter of setting your roster to where, okay, the first day came up April 9th and April 15th where they needed the fifth starter. The depth that they created in the offseason has certainly helped them to this point. I think they feel pretty good about some of the arms that are in the minor leagues right now that could possibly be the swing men for spot starts or even the length that they need the bridge guys in the bullpen. You know, so I think they feel good about the pitching right now and the fact that they can have optionable pieces to just kind of rotate guys through.
All right, yesterday was the first tough loss. The other two losses, they didn't have a chance to win the game. So it's like, okay, we'll turn the page and go tomorrow. Yesterday was a tough loss, a walk-off win by the Blue Jays. This is pretty much a veteran team, even though there are some young veterans. Do you expect they'll just turn the page and say, okay, we show up on Sunday, which is today, and we have a chance to win the series?
I think so. I think in the past, this is pretty much the same core that we've seen for a number of years now. I think they have a nice trust in each other. I think they've always been really good and resilient about turning the page after some tough losses. They've been playing some pretty good baseball. There are a lot of things to be positive about. Their hitting with runners in scoring position has been really good to start the season. And I think that's the only thing. Yesterday, you know, they had some opportunities with runners in scoring position, and they couldn't come up with a big hit. Whatever. Let's do it again today. Give themselves a lot of chances. The guys are going to come through. You know, they're off to a good start. There's a lot of positive feelings right now in the clubhouse, and it's just a matter, like you said, turn the page. Let's go on to the next day.
And what's interesting about that tough loss yesterday is the Orioles only allowed two runs. So if the Orioles got a couple of hits here, a couple of hits there, it might have been different.
Well, you're right. And that's where they can feel a little bit, feel better about it. You know, the opportunities to score are right there. And when you're still hanging in games like that and not getting the big hits, you got to feel pretty good. You're this close to really breaking out.
Well, you look at the Orioles season so far, they are 7-3. They have gone 4-1. Against the Blue Jays. And let's keep in mind, last year the Blue Jays won the season series 10-9, and that was the difference in the wild card game between these two teams being played here in Toronto as opposed to Camden Yards. The Birds have also gone 4-0 in games in which they have scored four runs or more, and they've already won three games on the year scoring three runs or less, and that has been a challenge in the past. They have gone 2-1 in games they've scored three runs, 1-0 in games they have scored two runs, including a 2-1 win here the other night in the opener of this four-game series. Well, today it is a battle of Dylan Bundy, a right-hander, going against Jay Happ, the veteran left-hander, now 34 years old in his 11th season. We're at Rogers Center in Toronto. The roof is closed as the Orioles and Blue Jays conclude this series. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter back at the SkyDome at Rogers Center in Toronto. In the win column again this afternoon, Orioles wind up taking 3 out of 4 before heading out to Cincinnati, off day on Monday, and then Tuesday night, the first of three against the Cincinnati Reds. Now today, the Orioles erupted offensively. 11 runs on 15 hits, including a total of 4 home runs. Ah, but it was Dylan Bundy who put the Orioles in a pretty good position to win this game. And Bundy got out to a kind of a shaky start. One pitch, Pilar would double. And then the next pitch, Carrera, a bunt single. And so the Blue Jays at first and third with nobody out. He got two strikes on Jose Bautista. And then Jim and I were talking, said, hey, you know what Bundy needs? He's got to get Bautista to strike out and then maybe get Morales to ground into a double play. Well, this is what happened. 2-2, Bundy. Long look. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Got him. And he got him with that breaking ball. That is a huge strikeout. No contact, one away, and now a double play ball can get him out of the inning. There you go. Well, Morales came up and he obliged. Little ground ball slowly hit the scope. He's going to go to JJ. One, here's the relay. Got him a double play. 4-6-3. They got the double play even though the ball wasn't hit very hard. And again, very close at first base. And Bundy gets out of it. He pulls a Houdini. Blue Jays at first and third. Nobody out. They do not score. Well, Dylan Bundy and Jay Happ locked up in a pretty good pitcher's duel until the top of the fifth inning when J.J. Hardy came up as the leadoff hitter. And the pitch, Hardy drills it out to our left center. Pilar on the run. On the run. Can he get there? Dives! He cannot get to it. The ball takes a big bounce and goes right over the wall for the automatic double. Kevin Pilar never gave up on that one. On a dead run, heading toward the gap and toward the warning track, angling that way, made a dive and came up maybe a foot short. Well, J.J. a double to get the inning started. After Gentry grounded out, well, Jay Happ would suddenly have to leave the game. He had an elbow issue that forced him from the game. That's when Biagini came on to pitch to Adam Jones. Here's the 2-2 pitch. There's a ground ball, base hit the other way. Good job of hitting. Hardy is going to be held up at third base by Bobby Dickerson. Now Jones keeps on running. Here's the play at second base. Adam in a rundown. Being chased toward first and tagged out. And J.J. coming home. And he's in there safely. J.J. on the tag on Jones at first base belatedly took off of the plate, and he made it. And it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. Yeah, the Blue Jays second baseman Ryan Goins took his eye off of J.J. J.J. took advantage to give the Orioles the fifth inning lead. Eventually, in the sixth inning, Trumbo a single. Then there was a wild pitch. Chris Davis got a base on balls. And so there were two aboard for Trey Mancini.
2-2 the count. It's a pair of deals, swinging a high fly ball, deep left field, down the line, and that ball is gone. Trey Mancini goes deep. There's a 3-run shot for Trey, his third on the year, and the Orioles have opened up a 4-0 lead.
There you go. Trey Bien Boom Boom in that fifth inning. Moments after that, Scope got a base hit. Then there was a pitching change. And then Hardy came up to hit again.
And the pitch, swinging a line drive, left field line. That's going to fall in for a base hit. It heads towards the corner. Digging it out is Steve Pierce. Scope is heading to third. He's being sent. Here comes the relay throw from Tulowitzki to the plate. He is safe at the plate with a head first slide. And Russell Martin cannot hold on to the ball. Very aggressive coaching there by Bobby Dickerson as he sends Scope all the way from first base. And J.J. Hardy with his second double of the game. And the Orioles now have a 5-0 lead.
J.J. Hardy went up with a three-hit game here this afternoon. Big day for him in Toronto. Now, if you thought that was good, wait till the eighth inning. Orioles came back again, and again it was Trey Mancini up there as the leadoff hitter. 3-2 pitch, fly ball into center. Pilar racing back. Mancini has gone boom, boom again. Wave it bye-bye. His second two-home run game this season. My goodness. He hit it to dead center. Orioles ahead, 7-1. I love that kid. Yeah, I think we all do, don't we? Scope then singled, and then after Hardy had fouled out, that's when Gentry came up to hit. Gentry hits one, way back in left field, into the second deck. Wave it bye-bye. Gentry takes one out. Scope scores ahead of him. It is 9-1 Orioles. Goodness gracious. And the Boo Birds at Rogers Center in Toronto. They weren't done yet. Jones came up. He walked. And then Machado came up to hit. And now here's Machado, who's not hitting. He's off to maybe the worst start of his career. It's early. In this game, Machado's 0 for 4. He has 1 for his last 18. He's just 2 for his last 26. Last year, he started the season on a 16-game hitting streak. Fly ball, right field corner. Slicing, deep, slicing. Gone, a home run. It hit the foul screen right down the line, and he kept it fair. Manny Machado, who knows? Maybe he's busted out. Yeah, Manny with that 2-run home run. Dylan Bundy, 6 innings, no runs, 5 hits. Crichton came on, made his major league debut in the 7th inning. Wilson came in, got one out. And then, it was Vidal Nuno in there in the 9th inning, gave up a 2-run home run, but he would get the game's final out. A pop-up into shallow left, coming on Gentry, coming on, makes the catch on the run. And at Rogers Center on this Easter Sunday, Orioles are back in the win column. They hit 4 home runs. 3 of them came in the 8th inning. And Trey Boom Boom Mancini with 2 home runs here this afternoon. He's going to enjoy his Easter dinner as we head to Cincinnati. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
We're back here at Rogers Center as the Orioles win the finale, and they win it going away 11-4, the final score. So the Birds improve to 3-0-1 split in their series on the year, as they do get 3 out of 4, won the first 2 games, lost yesterday on the walk-off by Kendrys Morales, but they bounced back today, a 5-run 6th and a 5-run 8th, getting it done. So the Orioles are now 8-3 on the year going into tomorrow's day off. Let's head downstairs, hear from the skipper. Post-game comments now. Buck Showalter with the media.
Buck, I guess there are times it seems like a player is locked in, and that player, Trey, looks pretty locked in right now.
Yeah, a couple other guys too, but I thought Dylan was key of the game. Dylan was really good. Again, we got some really solid pitching efforts here. I'm aware that, you know, Toronto's going to make somebody pay for early season. They've got a great track record of good offensive baseball, and they will again. And they've got good pitching, but, Trey did put a couple good swings on the ball today.
But when you look at Dylan and kind of what he's put together so far this year, do you see him just continuing to kind of make that step that you guys want him to?
He's so much more than a thrower. He's really, it's been great to watch him and Kevin grow as pitchers and manipulators of the baseball in the zone with different weapons. You know, it's part of that process when they figure out that more is not always better.
All series, we talked about some of the starting pitchers and how good they are when they have those weapons intact. I mean, with Bundy today, I mean, with the weapons he had, how good was
that? Yeah, you know, he had the slider and the curveball he needed, a couple changeup, and reach back and get a little fastball. But, you know, to make the evaluation that you're not carrying that plus fastball like he does on a given night. But, it was, when you're running against Happ, a guy that won 20 games last year, there's not much margin for error. We were fortunate he had some physical issues. What do you have wrong with him? Elbow?
Yeah.
Buck Adams stayed in the game, and then you took him out with the big lead. How is
it? No, he knocked the breath out of him more than anything. And I got out there, he was more mad he didn't catch the ball. He said, I should have caught it.
Is it pretty scary, though? Because you've seen Adam hit the wall several times.
I think Adam's playing a little deeper on some situations this year, and then the momentum built up there. And, you know, they've done a good job over the years of trying, with exception of two or three parks that you know which ones I'm talking about, they've given some give to the fences. But, he and Pilar, that's two good center fielders you want to, regardless of the score, that's the way they play.
How impressed are you by what you've seen from Trey Mancini a couple times now in the last few days?
Well, I'm more impressed with his bat. You know, I saw something. Every game, there's something here that I've never seen before. Every game in 20, 30 years, whatever long I've been doing this. So Trey hits his second home run, and Gentry grabs his bat. So I'm going to give that bat a try. He hits a home run. Manny said, you know what? Give me that bat, and Manny hit a home run. So all of them with Mancini's bat. I've never seen that before.
So everybody's going to start using Mancini's bat.
Well, it must be Wonder? What is it called?
Wonder Boy.
I've never seen that before. Okay, and I was like, we were always trying, when you're ahead like that, you're trying to be respectful of the opposition and not have too much fun. But that was one where I just went, really? When the third one went and hit the foul pole or the foul flag or whatever they call it here.
Look, how about?
You kidding me? Come on.
How about how Trey has handled extra attention with the homers?
I'm not giving it to you. You are.
Right, but, we are. Okay, yeah.
And if he keeps doing that, you're not going to have any choice. So, no, I don't want to say endeared, but he's certainly gained respect of some of the veteran players by the way he's handled success and knows that, it can go both ways. And also having respect for the opposition and the opposing pitchers. And, he's just grinding through the competition, trying to prove he belongs.
May not give you any choice. You said about us.
I always have a choice.
Yeah. Don't be playing that way.
Well, I got Kim sitting 300 and Smith sitting close to 300. It's a good problem to have.
Just
because because we're going to need all of them. But, it's good to get Trey back to his natural position and get Chris off the field. We got JJ off the field a couple of times and got Castillo off the field and get on a plane, go through customs and try to get to Cincinnati. And figure out the National League rules. It's real complicated, right? But we don't have a DH tomorrow either, which makes it
darn hitting pitcher.
No, we gives you a pretty good weapon now with Gentry and whoever else we put on the bench. If we hadn't lost Rickard, we'd have had six on the bench. That'd been nice. Thought Crichton, okay. I think he'll be better each time out. Good stuff. Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Buck. So post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles win the finale here to get 3 out of 4, today's final 11-4 in favor of the Birds.